Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn. Hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
My name is Lynn. I have been a carnivore for 18 months, and it has brought tremendous healing for me for mast cell activation syndrome, and I have also lost almost 110 pounds. I come across a mirror or a window and I catch my reflection. Sometimes I don't recognize the person, and it's a bit surreal. That is only my outside. My insides were even worse than the outside. And the fatigue was crippling. My body pain was very severe. And I was walking around like an 80-year-old. If I could walk, I was limping. And I was depressed. When your life is desperate and you're so sick and you're looking at your future and seeing nothing but illness and worsening sickness and being dependent on your family. So I'm just incredibly grateful and blessed that I have been able to find the solution finally after so many decades of suffering. You know, how quickly my pain reversed, insane. I mean, if you had told me back before when I was still working as a nurse and I had to retire, I had to retire, but that I could reverse my pain in 3 days just by eliminating all carbs, I would have told you you're crazy.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome my friend Lynn back to the channel. Lynn, how's it going?
It's going great.
Awesome. I'm excited to talk to you some more about your story. Lynn and I talk often. Lynn has been amazing, incredible part of the Healing Humanity team and the healinghumanity.life website. And you've just been making more and more progress. I'm going to share this here real quick. Share my screen. This picture, this is on our membership site, healinghumanity.life. I was looking at this and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is amazing. How do you feel looking at that?
You know, I just feel really grateful because the picture on the left was me for so long. And that is only my outside. My insides were even worse than the outside. And I'm just amazed that I lived in that body for decades and even barely functioned. So I'm just incredibly grateful and blessed that I have been able to find the solution finally after so many decades of suffering.
Right. It's amazing. You know, you look at pictures like that and it's sort of the before and after picture and the weight loss is incredible and that's what catches people. But the health changes that are underneath that, like you said, are even more amazing or in many cases more impactful for people. Yeah, it's just crazy. We use that picture as part of our little commercial video demonstration for our Healing Humanity membership site. But I don't know, that puts a big smile on my face. That's such an incredible turnaround, but just life-changing. It's really awesome.
And you know, I'm still on my journey. I have more to go, and you know, from a weight loss perspective, I have more, you know, I have more to go. I'm not ideal, but I'm getting there, and have lost over 100 pounds so far, but I have probably about 50 more to go. But the internal healing, I'd say, is probably 90 to 95% of the way there. And so for that, I'm like, if I stopped losing weight now, I can honestly say I have a life now, whereas I didn't before.
Right.
Yeah.
I've interviewed so many carnivores, and for one reason or another, a lot of them are really hard on themselves. Like when I look at that picture, I'm like, it sounds weird saying it, but I'm like, I'm proud of you. Like, it's crazy that you did that. Are you proud of yourself? Do you look in the mirror and say, wow, this is pretty crazy how far I've come?
Yeah. Sometimes it's a bit surreal because I look in the mirror, and especially if I'm out and I come across a mirror or a window that I catch my reflection, sometimes I don't recognize the person. And it's a bit surreal. And I've been appreciating little things so much recently because we've gone to a couple concerts recently, and to take for granted to be able to fit in the seats is, it's like, I can actually fit in the seats. I used to have to go, like, I love to go to like theater. We live kind of about 20 miles north of Seattle, and there's some amazing theater companies in Seattle. And we used to go often, and I would only go if I could get an aisle seat. And I knew I was going to be, you know, packing myself like a sardine into that seat. And then I would spill over to the other side, but my husband or my daughter would be sitting next to me. So it was, you know, I wasn't encroaching on a perfect stranger. And if I couldn't get an aisle seat, I wasn't going. And I was sitting there very uncomfortable the whole time because I didn't really fit into the seat. And so the last couple concerts we've been to over the last 2 weeks, we've been to two concerts. I could sit anywhere in the aisle and didn't have to sit on the aisle. I could sit anywhere, and I didn't have an aisle seat, and I had plenty of room in the seat. I didn't encroach on anybody. And in fact, it was funny, the concert we went to the other night, I felt like my partners on both sides of me were kind of encroaching on me a little bit. And I was just noticing that and really feeling grateful for that, because that's one of many just little blessings from having so much weight off of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those little things really start adding up. I try to intentionally think about those blessings, because it's easy to forget sometimes. It's something that's kind of annoying with the human brain. We normalize things over time and then tend to take things for granted. Oh, it's just the way it's always been. But it's like, no, you really got to appreciate all of those things.
Absolutely. And it's easy for us to focus on what we have yet to accomplish. And that's probably not a good place to focus, because when it comes to eating the proper human diet, those results will get there. And to focus and obsess on what you haven't accomplished yet is really taking away, in my opinion, from your own joy, your own peace. And it's so much better to focus on what you have accomplished. And especially when you get far into your journey and what you've accomplished so far outweighs what is yet to come. You know, I've learned to live so much more in the present and just be grateful for where I'm at right now, and accept the little ups and downs, because it is not a linear path at all. There's ups and downs to it. And when you embrace those and you accept them, you can have so much peace in your daily life. And so I've really come to a point where I've learned to just embrace the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. I feel like, speaking for myself personally, there was a lot of shame when I was overweight and sick and had all these issues. And I always tell people, like, one really encouraging thing with this is, you don't have to have that shame the second you say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm starting right now. For me, it's like, that's when you can be proud of yourself. That's when you can start forgetting about that shame, that you're actually doing something about it. Because there's a lot of people that aren't doing, they're just going along with the flow and they're not doing it. It doesn't have to be that that shame goes away when you're down 100 pounds,
right?
Or you've reached your goals already. It's like, no, the second you're doing something about it and you're on that path. So hopefully that encourages some people that are considering starting.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I started in a state of tremendous illness. I was totally disabled and I was very much housebound and often just recliner chair bound and couldn't do anything. And this is one way of eating where you can actually do it when you're very ill, because it's the easiest thing ever. I've tried other things in the past and I just couldn't do it. When you don't feel well, food prep is really challenging. Especially when you have to peel and chop and dice and slice, and, you know, it's a lot of work. And this was easy. You know, if you can pull something out of the freezer, defrost it, you know, you don't even necessarily have to defrost it depending on what method of cooking you're doing, but toss it in an air fryer. That's all you got to do. So you know, you don't have to get to a certain part in your health before you change the way you eat. You just do it where you're at now. And if you don't feel good, grab some hot dogs, you know, just whatever you can do, it's going to help you. And then when you start to feel good, you can maybe do a little bit more, but it's been incredible.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice, because some of this is like, for us doing this for a while, it's like, yeah, that all makes sense. But I know before learning about eating a proper human diet, I always thought to lose the weight or to get healthier, I had to exercise or other things like that. And it's just like you said, I was so sick and brain fogged and fatigued. It's like you have pneumonia or an illness. It's like you can't exercise when you're that sick. And exercise was never the answer. Like, all of my health improvements came, none of it from exercise. It was all diet.
Oh yeah. And exercise just made me feel worse. You know, I had a really severe case of exercise intolerance, and exercise didn't help at all. And, you know, exercising when you feel like you've got the flu all the time and, or coming down with the flu, is impossible. You just, you know, you just end up feeling worse.
Right. Yeah. It sets people up for failure. So I always try to get the word out. Mm-hmm. It's like, the nutrition is so much more important. Yeah. But so Lynn and I have done a video together. We'll leave a link in the description below. And Lynn has an amazing YouTube channel at Midlife Carnivore. We'll have that link too below. But could you take us back just kind of briefly and maybe tell us about some of the health issues you had before finding Carnivore?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started having odd health issues back when I was in my 20s, and with heat intolerance was the first thing that I really noticed that was different than other people. I had other problems, but that was one that was different. I noticed that I would get overheated very quickly and almost get to like heat stroke level with the nausea and the dizziness, feeling like I was going to pass out, and it would develop into, you know, abdominal pain, and in a very short period of time of being out in any sort of heat. And I brushed it off, didn't do anything about it. That was in my 20s. I was busy. I was working on college degrees and working on, you know, I was married and we're trying to conceive. I was dealing with infertility. So it was like not anything I ever pursued. But I ended up having, over the years, lots of weight gain, but I ended up having a lot of psychological issues, ended up in a psychiatric hospital for 5 days, and then a partial hospitalization program for a few weeks, and then lots of therapy, medications. I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. I just had all these weird health issues that they kind of slowly developed as I got older. And it wasn't until I was in my early 50s, probably about 50, that it really started really affecting me as far as work. I started getting dizzy spells, heart palpitations, And I was working as a nurse in a hospital. And, you know, I happened at work. They sent me to the ER, went through a whole bunch of workups, couldn't find anything, saw a neurologist, did a brain MRI. They couldn't figure it out. And over the years, I've been to 17 different types of doctors, just trying to figure out these oddities about how my body functions and why I react to weird things. And like other people don't. And so over the course of the past, I'd say 8 years, maybe. So maybe I was like, I'm 56 now. So maybe I was like late 40s when I first started having real issues. I, you know, had to go to the ER frequently. I'd have throat swelling episodes. My blood pressure would go through like dangerously stroke level high, like 220 over 120. And, I finally got diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome. And then I also have a genetic condition that's similar and related called hereditary alpha tryptosemia. And, you know, my mast cells degranulate, they release the chemical mediators into my bloodstream inappropriately. And when I went to see you, I got this diagnosis back in 2022 in March. And because we didn't realize I had hereditary alpha tryptosemia, my serum tryptase levels are always elevated. And that's one of the tests to diagnose mast cell activation syndrome. But if they're elevated above 20, it could be systemic mastocytosis. So mine are always above 20. And so I ended up needing to get a bone marrow biopsy to really get my diagnosis, which was not fun, but I got through it. But the doctor that diagnosed me, he put me on some medications and just said, yeah, if you're not feeling better in 3 months, come back and see me. And one thing I've learned about mast cell activation syndrome is how important it is to identify the triggers of your reactions. I mean, I was having anaphylactic reactions and he never even talked to me about triggers. Like, what am I doing? And I actually asked him. So after I did some research, I sent him a message and said, you know, should I be going on a low histamine diet? And he just said, well, you can if you want. And to me, that was the final straw with this doctor, because I'm like, he obviously doesn't know anything about mast cell activation syndrome. And he admitted to me that I was only the second person in his over 20-year career that he had even diagnosed. So I was just basically on my own. And I was still working at the time as a nurse. And at that point, I had been out of working in the hospitals for quite a while. And I was working in a gastroenterology hepatology clinic outpatient. And it was during the pandemic. I had the ability to work from home. And so I was working from home. When it was time to come back into the office and work with patients, I had an anaphylactic reaction from the heat from my breath from wearing a mask. And so my boss said, go home. And so the whole pandemic, I was working from home. And which was great for me because I could not work. I mean, I was getting heavier and heavier. I was getting more and more unhealthy. I was having more reactions. And I couldn't, during the whole pandemic, I couldn't go anywhere because everyone was requiring masks. And people were saying, there's no reason why you can't wear a mask. You know, there's no valid reason. But yet here I have mast cell activation syndrome where heat is one of my biggest triggers. And just, you know, I couldn't. I would end up feeling like I was going to pass out, and I would end up in the ER if I let that trigger, you know, and I didn't get away from it like right away like that. So it was hard, but I ended up also getting a lot worse. And in 2023, I ended up getting exposed to some bacteria. I think it was in a hot tub on a trip we took, and I had this little tiny cyst on my chest, and it got in there and it formed an abscess that was very infected. I needed to have it drained and packed. It tunneled all the way to my sternum, and I had to go every other day to the clinic to get it repacked, and two different courses of antibiotics. And that infection put me over the edge. I was already not doing well, that completely put me over the edge. And I started having the worst brain fog. I had dizziness and nausea and the heart palpitations, and I couldn't breathe very well. I couldn't catch a breath, but the brain fog was insane. I got to where, and I was doing a lot of phone work with patients, and my brain would just freeze, and I couldn't even think of what the word I had to say, or words would come out slurred. You would think I was having a stroke if you didn't know what was it, that it was a mast cell reaction. So I had to go on disability, and that was June of 2023. Over the following year of being on disability, I did find a naturopathic doctor that was willing to learn about mast cell activation syndrome and did help. And I was on a kind of a low histamine diet, but it was not a carnivore diet. And I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the more I was basically couch bound, bed bound, chair bound, no energy, the fatigue was crippling. My body pain was very severe. And I was walking around like an 80-year-old. If I could walk, I was limping. And I was depressed. It's like eating garbage. All I did was go to the refrigerator. I would get maybe no more than 200 steps in a day, because I would be going from bed to the chair, chair to the bathroom, chair to the fridge, grab garbage to eat. And because I had no energy, and it gave me, the sugar gave me a little pick me up. And so I'd get something sweet or starchy. I'd get that little pick me up, and it would last for a little while. I'd feel a little bit better. And then I'd crash. I'd have to go find something else. So I gained even more weight. And so I was, right before I got on the carnivore diet, I was just saying, I'm going to be a cripple. And here I am at the time, 55. And I was thinking about how heavy I was. My top weight was about 350 pounds. And thinking, my poor husband and my youngest daughter, who's the closest in geographically to us, would be caregivers. And it's like, how could I put them through that? Is if there's anything I could do, I will do it. And I was really feeling hopeless. And it was my husband who said, why don't you try the carnivore diet? Because I had tried it before for about 6 weeks. And back then, my goal was to lose weight. And because I was 100% convinced I was going to get COVID, my daughter's a children's pastor, she was going to bring it home. I was relying on my own immune system completely to protect myself. I knew the risks for people who are morbidly obese. So I'm like, I got to lose some weight. And so I went on carnivore for about 6 weeks. My daughter brought home the virus in November of 2021. I did great, no problems. I was able to take, and this was 6 weeks on the carnivore diet. And I was able to take care of my husband, my daughter. We all had it at the same time. And, you know, so I breezed through it. And at that time, I thought it was only about weight loss. So I stopped doing it. And I really shouldn't have, but I did. But my husband came back to me and I said, like, why don't you try the carnivore diet again? And I told him, okay, I will try it again, but this time you have to try it. Well, you have to do it with me, because I was all by myself back then. And it was just, it was probably one of the reasons why I quit. But so he did, he said, yeah, I'll do it with you. So that was in end of May of 2023 is when I started. And I went cold turkey, which I don't recommend for people to do, but that's just my personality. It's all or nothing. So I went cold turkey, and I didn't have a very difficult time transitioning like some people do, but the results have been incredible. It's almost like I forgot the whole histamine issue initially, because I was starting to feel better. Within about 3 days, my body pain went away. And I was blown away by that. And I started losing weight immediately. And my mast cell reactions, the throat swelling and all these, you know, reactions I was having, they slowed down, because I had been having about two to three, sometimes four reactions a week. And I did have some medication I could take that would kind of arrest the progression of the reaction, but I was having to take it like two, three, four times a week. And so the carnivore diet slowed that down to about twice a month. And I had horrific rosacea too. I mean, I have a picture that I show often on my channel, and I think I have a picture on our Healing Humanity Life site as well, I think. But you know, it's on my Instagram too. I look like an absolute leper. I mean, the red blotchy of my face was horrific. You can't cover it with makeup. It was just terrible. So that all started to improve, but I didn't get real true healing until I went on the Lion Diet. And so I finally decided I'm going to go on the Lion Diet. I made this discovery when I made the histamine video for my channel, because as I'm making and researching this, making this histamine video for my channel, I realized, wait a minute, I'm not avoiding high histamine foods. And it was like a light bulb went on, like, what's wrong? I know I'm supposed to be avoiding high histamine foods, but for some reason I just forgot. Yeah, there's high histamine foods that are carnivore. So through the course of making that histamine video, I realized I need to really scale back on what I'm eating and under the carnivore umbrella. So yeah, I went Lion Diet for about a year, and that just did amazing healing, unbelievable healing for me, and really seemed to solidify my health improvements. So yeah, that's not really brief, but I have a hard time being brief.
No, it's perfect. It's awesome. Back to the pandemic and the mask thing, that is so unfortunate, because you have this legitimate serious health condition and people are probably like, oh, she just doesn't want to wear a mask. She's making this excuse up sort of thing when you have serious thing going on.
Exactly. And I mean, and I'm a nurse. I know what masks can filter out, what they can't filter out, but I wasn't one of those people that was going to go, you know, I'm not going to wear a surgical mask on my face because I know that it doesn't really like filter out the little viruses. I was willing to do it because I understood that other people were afraid. And I didn't, as a nurse, there's a fine line. Like, I don't want to misinform people with my actions by endorsing the fact that that I think that this is going to actually help. Which, unless you're coughing, sneezing, spewing, it really isn't going to do anything. But I also don't want to create panic and extra anxiety for people. So I was willing to do it, but I couldn't. And I live in the state of Washington, which was a lot more strict than a lot of other states. And so there were other states, like my brother and sister-in-law live in Idaho, right next door. We go to visit them in Idaho. No one cared. And it was so nice. It was nice to get a break. It's like, you can go in stores and nobody cared. My brother just said, the only thing is if you go into Lowe's, you got to wear it when you go through the cameras into the, through the entrance. But as soon as you get in, rip it off. No one cares. Right. Not in Washington State. In Washington State, people were absolutely militant. And so I couldn't do anything. I couldn't really go anywhere. Fortunately, our church was not like that. And so I could go to church and, but yeah, it was hard. So, which didn't help with my health either, because I had to be a hermit. And, you know, I would try to go places. For a while, I tried to do the shield, and some places would let me in, but I still would have a reaction. It just took longer. You know, maybe I could do a shield for maybe 30, 40 minutes before the heat would get too much for me. But other places would go, nope, you can't come in with a shield. Yeah. And honestly, the businesses that wouldn't let me do that, I have not frequented them since then.
Good.
So
on the carnivore front, there's a lot of new people that are new to carnivore and they think it's just crazy. How did your husband come across this, or how did you guys come across this? And did you think it was kind of nuts at first?
Oh yeah. I was a GI nurse. So yeah, I mean, everything was fruits, vegetables, whole grains, make sure you're getting your fiber. A lot of things clicked after I learned and started carnivore. But originally, when I did carnivore back in 2021, I had found it from listening to a podcast where Mindy Pels interviewed Paul Saladino, and I had never even heard of him. And that's where my first introduction to the carnivore diet. I didn't know that that was even a thing. And the podcast was about gut microbiome. And he wasn't necessarily saying, you know, carnivore diet. He was comparing a carnivore diet to a vegetarian diet. And he was talking, they were talking about weight loss. And he was talking about gut microbiome and saying that some people can lose weight fine doing vegetarian because of their gut microbiome. Now, I don't necessarily, now that I'm carnivore, I don't necessarily agree with what he was saying, but he was saying other people can lose weight on a carnivore diet, just meat products. So I decided instead of going and paying like $600 to test my gut microbiome, I just decided to give it a trial and I chose the carnivore. I didn't want to do vegetarian. That was way too much work. Right. And so, yeah, so that's how I initially found it. And then I had forgotten all about it. And then my husband, I don't know, it's just weird because he doesn't watch carnivore videos. He doesn't even watch nutrition videos on YouTube. He's a pilot. He's a private pilot. We've got an airplane and he flies. He's obsessed with flying. So pretty much everything on his channel is either flying or finance or Bitcoin, right? That's his channel. And he comes to me with a video from Amanda from Carnivorous Me and says, you need to watch this. And I think I'd seen her before, but I'd completely forgotten. So I started watching and going through her history. I started just from the beginning and started watching her progress. And that's when I realized that, wait a minute, this isn't just about weight loss. When I saw how she improved her rheumatoid arthritis and her mental health issues, I was like, wait, there's way more to this than I realize. And so the second time around going on it, it was for other things. It was for my immune disease. It was for all my health issues, my body pains and the brain fog and the weight loss. I call it a happy side effect. And that my primary reason was for healing. And so now I know that primarily it is a healing diet. And if you're going on it, and a lot of people, they go on it for weight loss. And I just think your motivation needs to be really strong. And if you have a really strong motivation to lose weight, that's great. But a lot of people I talked to, their motivation was illness. And when your life is desperate and you're so sick and you're looking at your future and seeing nothing but illness and worsening sickness and being dependent on your family, to me, that was the motivation. I was willing to do anything. So I'm really grateful that my husband came to me with Amanda's channel. Yeah. So I didn't know any of the carnivore docs. I mean, I knew about Paul Saladino, but I know that he's not as strict of it and everything and has a little controversy around it, but I had no idea about any of the other carnivore docs at all. So I started out watching people's YouTube channels. So I always tell people, start your YouTube channel, because someone like me may stumble across you not knowing the Dr. Barry's and the Dr. Chafee's and all of these different doctors. And it's people like us that are sharing our stories. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I hope people get that message too, because that's a frustrating thing. I have loved ones, family members that are like, I don't need to do that carnivore diet. I don't need to lose any weight. And I'm like, so much more. It's about so much more than weight loss. Like you said, it's the ultimate healing.
Oh yeah. Sure. And you know, and working in nursing, I can't tell you how many times we talk to people and even the doctors and through nursing school, they do attribute so much to aging. And it's like, you just have aches and pains because you're getting older and you have arthritis because you're getting older. Your brain isn't quite as quick because you're getting older. And we're taught even in school that these gradual changes are just a normal part of aging. So we're watching for an acute change in somebody's health. So if somebody has been declining gradually, we don't worry about that so much. We worry if all of a sudden they see a dramatic change in their health, then, okay, wait a minute, there's a disease process going on here. And I've learned that that is not the case. You know, how quickly my pain reversed? Insane. I mean, if you had told me back before when I was still working as a nurse and I had to retire, because of my health, I had to retire, but that I could reverse my pain in 3 days just by eliminating all carbs, I would have told you you're crazy. Like, there's no way. In fact, I would have told you you're going to die of a heart attack. You're going to clog your arteries. You know, all the different things that people are told, that's exactly what I would have said. You can't poop without fiber, right? You know, and when I look back, I think back to all the people that I was working with as a GI nurse, and I can't tell you how many people would tell me fiber doesn't work for me. Like, because the doctors would say, add more fiber. And they would say, I tried that. That didn't work for me. And so I would say, well, it was probably the wrong type of fiber. And I had had patients that would just argue, it doesn't work. And people with irritable bowel syndrome, very hard to treat, would be so suffering, and they'd be put on medication and often still suffering. It's so hard when you have irritable bowel syndrome, because people say it's a diagnosis of ruling out other things, but it is a real diagnosis. It is neurological. Your nerves are not feeding your colon the right signals. It's either too slow or things are moving along too fast. There's so much pain. And this was the solution. And I did not know, working as a GI nurse. And, you know, we'd have people with inflammatory bowel disease or diverticulitis. The doctors would say, stop the fiber while your gut's inflamed. No connections were ever made to the fact that maybe we should continue to stop the fiber and the gut will stay uninflamed. None of that clicked in my mind. Now looking back, yeah, it absolutely clicks. And, you know, the same people that would say that a fiber supplement doesn't help them and often would make them worse have no qualms with eating plenty of dietary fiber.
Mm.
It's like fruits, vegetables, and whole grains galore. But we also, like, so this side of your brain is saying, I'm eating a healthy diet full of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. The other side of your brain is going, I don't feel good. And I tried fiber and it made me feel worse. And there's no bridge between those two parts of your brain.
Right. complete disconnect.
Yeah. To go, okay, let's back up a little bit. If adding more fiber makes me feel worse, maybe I should decrease what I'm currently doing,
right?
And see if that makes me feel better.
Yeah, there's just, we hold those fruits and vegetables in such high regard above all logic, really. IBS thing, that was one of my many issues I was diagnosed with too. And in retrospect, now it's so clear. It's like, it's just the foods I was eating. It's just like, it was so hard to pinpoint it on different medications and try the low FODMAP diet and try this and try that. And it's like, no, it was eating the wrong foods, eliminating those foods.
And the GI community, you know, physicians, healthcare, they're kind of making the correlation to food. Like you mentioned, the low FODMAP diet, they've made a correlation to FODMAPs, which are the fermentable molecules that are naturally occurring in foods. And they've figured out that some people are sensitive to specific FODMAPs. And so, yes, they recommend trying this FODMAP elimination diet. So they've gone this far in making the food association with IBS. I can't tell you how many people had inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, and unless they were in a flare, the doctors literally would say, it doesn't matter what you eat. You know, of course they were on biologic medications. They were, you know, some also on oral medications. And so the goal was to get them on the proper medication that would keep them from having a flare of their condition. And diet was like, just eat what you want. Your body's going to do what it's going to do. It doesn't matter what you eat. And I actually had patients that would question that, and they call in, want to talk to a nurse. And so I'd talk to them, and they would say, hey, my doctor told me it doesn't matter what you eat. Is that true? And I never really believed that, but I didn't know what to tell them. And so I would just refer them to the Crohn's and Colitis Society website and tell them that there's a lot of chat forums there, people talking about diet, and they could get some recommendations there. And honestly, if I was a carnivore at the time, I probably would have gotten in a lot of trouble for recommending the carnivore diet. I would have had to do it in a very roundabout way. But yeah, they never really, and they would always feel better. Their flare would settle down when they would stop the fiber. Yeah. Right. So
Lynn, you were inspired, kind of a big turning point for you was Amanda from Carnivorous Me. And now you have your own YouTube channel and you have your own story. You're inspiring people. Why are you so passionate about this that you're sharing all this on YouTube?
Well, I initially started my YouTube channel, I think it was a two, three, like within the week of when I started the carnivore diet. And it was initially to hold myself accountable because I'd failed so many times on with so many of my other efforts at trying to get healthy. I never anticipated that anybody would ever subscribe to my channel. I figured I would probably just, it would be for me. And I was really surprised to find the carnivore community, which is amazing. But for me, it has kind of evolved over the course of the now year and a half that I've been a carnivore. Because I had to retire at the time that I started my channel, I was still on medical leave for work and I didn't know that I was going to have to retire. But now that I've retired from nursing, I still want to help people. And now that I know that I can help people through sharing about how to eat, it just, I have a new mission now. I don't want to go back into nursing because of the healthcare system. And I couldn't definitely go back into GI nursing. Like, really, I couldn't. I could not tell people to eat carbs. I just can't. And it really wasn't helping anyways. And people weren't getting off their medication. So it's become a new mission for me. And I was just very blessed to be able to find the Healing Humanity project. And it was actually JT who referred me to you guys initially. And because he had reached out, he was interviewing every carnivore out there, right?
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
So he'd reached out and asked me for an interview. So I think I was 4 months in when I went on his channel. And after the interview, when we were backstage, he said, "Hey, you know, I think you'd be good working on this project with Carrie." I didn't even know who you were. I'm like, who's Carrie? And well, you know, and yeah, so that's how I got connected. And the more I saw what you were doing, the more inspired I became. And the more I was like, wait, like, I want to work with these people because this is going to change people's lives. And yeah, and it's just become, it's become what I do. I mean, I'm passionate about it. It's like, I can actually help people. And I realize most of it is behind the scenes for me, but I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to do it. And now with the healinghumanity.life, it's just even more that I'm able to do to grow this whole mission. And yeah, it's become quite a blessing in my life.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate everything you've helped with. It's absolutely amazing. I always say it's our documentary, which is so true. We wouldn't be anywhere near as far along as we are without your help and the help of the other volunteers. And then all the work you've been doing on the membership site too. I've really been loving, just as a quick side note, we do several Zoom calls a week on healinghumanity.life, but the breaking addictions calls, I honestly didn't think I'd be into that when I first heard about it. And I love those calls. I don't know. There's something therapeutic about it. I've been doing carnivore over 600 days. I haven't cheated. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I cheated many times trying ketogenic diet throughout the years. But I still feel like the big reason that I was so unhealthy for so long was because of addiction. Yeah. And I feel kind of like an alcoholic. You're, even though I'm abstaining from that, it's always an addiction. It's always there. It could always be triggered again, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just having that community too, it's just awesome. And you've been a huge part of that also, along with others on the team. So yeah, I really appreciate all of that. One other question I wanted to ask you, you found incredible healing. You're still healing. You're still on your journey, of course, but, what do you think about like the next generation kids that are coming up now? Because I look at my health and how bad it was, and I'm like, I ate pretty bad, but it seems like this younger generation is eating way worse. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. They're eating way, way worse. And I think part of that is they have a lot of access to foods that we didn't necessarily have access to when we were young. I think part of it was I don't know about you, but my parents were much more control over what I ate. We didn't snack in between meals. You know, we didn't, and I didn't grow up on healthy food. I didn't have, my mom, she cooked three meals a day. She was a stay-at-home mom, but I grew up on Crisco and corn oil and margarine. I don't think I had real butter until I was an adult. And, a lot of the food came out of cans and packages, and she was doing the best that she knew. And that was what we were told, was that these foods were better and they were cheaper. You know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. We were very, more on the lower income side, but we weren't allowed to just go in the fridge. And we didn't have access to all these junk at school. Like, we didn't have snack machines at my school. We didn't have soda machines at the school. You know, you got your little carton of milk that you paid like 15 cents for. And that's what you got. It's not strawberry milk, not chocolate milk, white whole milk. Right. But now kids nowadays, they're bombarded. And of course the commercials on TV, the parents who buy them whatever they want and take them grocery shopping. I wouldn't take my kids grocery shopping. I went to the grocery store that had childcare, and I put them in the childcare, because otherwise they would be driving me crazy when my kids were young, pulling stuff off the shelves. And mom, can I get this? And I get that. And you know, I think that that's part of the problem. But it's kids are inundated with it, with the messaging, and it's just like they do with like beer commercials and all these other commercials for cologne. You know, they glamorize it. You know, your whole life is going to be better if you have this product or if you eat this, you know, and it's so fun and it's colorful and you can get a toy in the box. Yeah. So I think that I know a lot of people I've talked to, and a lot of my audience is older and their grandparents, and they get frustrated because like, what do you do for your grandkids? You know, like all my kids are grown. My youngest is 28. All my kids are married and, you know, and I have three grandkids. And, you know, what do you do when your adult kids are eating the way you ate that got you in the health that you were in, and you are like desperately wanting to do something to help them? Of course, they're not going to listen to you. You know, your kids stop listening when they're teenagers, right? They're not going to listen as adults. But some of them will. They'll see what your health benefits, and they will listen. But I've gotten a passion now, and I'm sure this is leading into my kids' books. But
yes. Now
for helping parents, but also grandparents, have something that they can give to their grandkids, or parents can give to their kids or their nieces or their nephews, to help combat the bad messaging that they're getting through the media. And so my co-author Amy Hosp and I have been writing carnivore children's books. We've published three so far, and we have so many in the pipeline that we're probably, this is probably going to be my side job for a very long time, because our goal is to have a large variety of fun carnivore books for kids to teach kids a different message about their nutrition and staying away from sweets and eating a carnivore diet.
Yeah. Can you show us some of the books? I think this is good timing with Christmas coming up soon. Like what better gift too?
Yeah. So I'll show them in the order that we publish them. And so the first one is this one right here. It is called Superhuman Power Foods for Humanity. And we have made beef, bacon, butter, and eggs into superheroes. This is a combination. So it's a comic book. So we've got comics and it is also an activity book. You know, we've got some word finds. We've got a bunch of different little, you know, kids a variety of ages, a whole bunch of different activities. They can even make their own. There's a little thing here to make your own butter with a lot of cute graphics. There's coloring pages. This book here, some of the proceeds go to the Healing Humanity Project. So this was our first one that we really wanted to do something that we can contribute something to the Healing Humanity Project and also help parents and grandparents. The second book is a storybook. It's called Sugar Cubie, the Sugar Monster and the Superhuman Power Foods for Humanity. This book was actually written to help support Dr. Barry's American Diabetes Society. And it is featuring his kids, which we have here, and Granny Barry. And so we have Bonnie and Beckett and Granny Barry, and we have Sugar Cubie the Sugar Monster. cute story. And then our last book, which we just published about a little over a week ago, is for Christmas. This is the book. It's called Candy Chaos and the Santa Cure. And this is in the form of a rhyme, kind of like The Night Before Christmas is a rhyme. It's in the form of a rhyme. And it's about Santa's elves. It's very colorful. And Santa's elves are eating too much candy all year. They're just loving their candy. They're ending up with tummy aches. They're tired. And then Santa surprises them with something. There is a carnivore twist in this book. And so those are our three books. All three of them are available on Amazon. If you just look up, you can look. I always give Amy's name, but Lynn Divokey, D-I-V-O-K-Y is mine. Amy is HOSP, H-O-S-P. Probably easiest to just look up either of our names. You'll find all of those books. She has a lot of other books that she's published. I have four coloring books that I've published, but these are our passion projects.
That's incredible. I will have links in the description below. You guys did a really good job. It's so well done. We get a lot of parents, grandparents. You know, the tendency is for children, like, I'm an adult, just listen to me. But I think the education component to these books is really important. Kids are really smart, and giving them that knowledge, I think, is a good first step versus just do it. Just trust me. Just kind of do this. It's like you said, kids don't want to listen. It's different with younger kids, too. But yeah, the books are awesome. So great, great Christmas present stocking stuffer. I'll have links in the description below for all of those. And people can find you, Lynn, at Midlife Carnivore is your YouTube channel. I'll have a link for that below as well. Is there anywhere else people can find you?
Oh, yeah. They can find me on healinghumanity.life. Now, I do have an Instagram account, too, with Midlife Carnivore. It's small. I don't do a ton with Instagram. But yeah, I mean, I'm on healinghumanity.life. I'm on all the Zoom calls, and I'm running the Zoom calls when you and Adam are traveling. Adam and I are site administrators, so you'll definitely see me there. You can connect with me and we can chat on Zoom calls many times during the week and hang out.
Absolutely. And we have a special offer on the Healing Humanity membership site. There's a link in the description below with the promo code you can use. So if anyone's interested in trying us out, that information is below. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lynn, for the interview and for everything you're doing. It's incredible. The books are awesome. Your story is so inspiring. I really appreciate it. It's going to inspire a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And I will be seeing you in Arizona, too.
Yes. Yeah. Check us out. We're going to have that on the healinghumanity.life site. I think it's on the events page. We're doing a big Inspiring Carnivore Stories meetup, and Lynn is going to share her story in front of the audience along with some others as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun.